How much does someone have to understand about the saving message in order to believe? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. But before we do that, I want to remind you about our National Bible Conference beginning in just a few days. You don't want to miss this. It's October 26th. Our National Bible Conference is happening in Coppell, Texas this year, and it might be too late for you to get plane tickets, but it's not too late for you to join us online. You can find out more about the conference by going to faithalone.org and clicking on events. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to the show. This is Grace in Focus, and my name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we're taking your questions. Send them to radio@faithalone.org. There aren't a whole lot of arenas where people can ask questions. You know, there's not a whole lot of settings where you get to ask your Bible questions, your theology questions. And so we're happy to do that for you. Any topic of theology or the Bible, but especially grace-related issues and salvation-related issues, we'd love to hear from you. For example, here is a question from, well, I don't know their name. They haven't given their name, just call it Moto, I guess. I don't know. He or she asks, does believing in Jesus also mean believing what he said about salvation as well as giving to those in need, etc.? So what does believing in Jesus, is it just strictly maybe about salvation, or is it believing anything that he taught, or what?
Well, if we're speaking in general and not talking about how the Gospel of John uses that term, believing in him, then it could be believing anything he said or did. But when we go to the Gospel of John, believing in him means something specific.
Right.
In John 3:16, believing in him means believing that by faith in him, they will never perish but have everlasting life. Or a person who believes in him will never perish but has everlasting life.
Because the Gospel of John presents Jesus specifically as the Savior of the world. That's the focus.
Right. You get the same thing all the way through John's Gospel. For example, John chapter 11, verses 25 to 27, Jesus says that whoever believes in him, though he may die, he will live. That's the promise of resurrection. And that he who lives and believes in me shall never die, which is the promise of everlasting life that can never be lost. And so all the way through John's gospel, to believe in him, what was Moto's second part of it? Believing and taking care of the poor?
Yeah, such as giving to those in need.
No, in John's gospel, that would not be what believing in him is. That would be a form of work salvation if I thought, in order to believe in him, I must give to those in need. In order to believe in him, I must be baptized.
Right.
In order to believe in him, I must do something else.
Right. I guess he meant, you know, Jesus taught a lot about giving to the poor. So if you believe in Jesus, don't you believe that you need to give to the poor too? Is that part of
believing
in Jesus?
Well, the answer would be you should.
Right.
If I believe in him for my eternal destiny, shouldn't I believe in him for my well-being here and now?
Right.
Well, if I do, then I believe that following him is the only wise way to have a life that is blessed. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's the only way to have a life that's blessed is right. By following Jesus. But it's not automatic that if a person believes in Jesus for everlasting life, that they automatically follow him for blessings in this life.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of people in Christianity that get duped by this present world.
Mm-hmm.
Remember in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. If a believer mistakenly loves the present world, they are not going to love God, because you can't love God and mammon at the same time.
Mm.
So ultimately, following Christ is a choice. It's not automatic.
All right. Here's kind of a related question from Wes. And he says, isn't it true that we have to believe that Jesus is more than just an ordinary man? Don't we need to believe that Jesus is God, flat out God, in order to have saving faith, or in order to believe the promise that Jesus gives eternal life to those who believe in him? What if we have an incomplete view of who Jesus is? What if we think it's Jesus, the guy that's my neighbor, or Jesus, the angel that the Jehovah's Witnesses believe in? maybe first off the bat, we should say, without any doubt, we believe in the Trinity. We believe that Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. He's 100% God. He's 100% man.
Right.
And that is why he's able to give us everlasting life.
Correct.
The question is, do you need to understand all of that before you can be born again? And maybe the second thing we should say is, a lot of people do come to believe that Jesus is God before they're born again.
Correct. And there's some other layers to this question, and that is, how much do you have to believe about the deity of Christ
right.
in order to be born again? Because what was the word? It was something like flat out have a full orb.
Yeah, we need to believe that Jesus is God, flat out God.
Flat out God. Now, what does flat out God mean?
And that's the tricky question, isn't it? Because a lot of people don't realize this, but early Christendom spent at least 800 years of empire-shaking theological controversy before finally hammering out all the details, and not even all the details, but most of the details of what it means for Jesus to be God and part of the Trinity. That took 800 years, and most evangelicals don't even know a tenth of all the things that they're supposed to believe about the
right.
Trinity.
Let me begin by saying, yes, of course we believe in the deity of Christ and a full understanding of that, which would include, for example, something most evangelicals don't believe, that Jesus not only didn't sin, but was incapable of sinning. Most evangelicals would say Jesus was able to sin, but we're lucky he didn't.
Mm.
But yet most evangelicals don't believe that, and that's not necessary. Believing that is not necessary to be born again. Now, let's take a quick example. The Apostle Peter, the Apostle John, his brother James, Peter's brother Andrew, none of them believed that Jesus was God in the flesh.
So wait. So what you're saying is, let's back up a bit. You're going to answer this question by looking at the Bible.
Right.
And seeing who believed in him.
Right.
And what they believed about Jesus at the point of faith.
Right.
Because if you're supposed to believe in the Trinity to be born again, you would expect to see that in the scriptures.
Right. And what we find is that the apostles were born again. They believed in him. John 2:11 talks about they believed in him. And whether that's the same people from John chapter 1 or not is not crystal clear. It might be a different group of disciples. But Jesus says in John 15, you are clean, but not all of you, referring to Judas.
Right.
So all the other 11 were clean, they were regenerated, they were cleansed, and yet they did not believe at that point that Jesus was God.
What they needed to believe was that Jesus was the Savior of the world. That's what the Samaritans say in John chapter 4. He's the Messiah.
And that by faith in him, they have everlasting life. And so I would say it is possible to believe in Jesus for everlasting life and yet not believe he's God, because the apostles did that. Now, having said that, I have never met a single person like that in my almost 50 years of being a believer, and most of those 50 years in ministry, I've never met a person that came to faith in Christ that didn't believe he was at least the Son of God. Now,
right.
I did meet one young man who said to me, in front of his pastor, he said, "Pastor, when I came to faith here in this church, I believed Jesus was the Son of God, but I didn't know he was God." He had a strange view of what Son of God meant.
Right. Theologians, and this is part of the 800 years of controversy, what
right.
does that mean? They would say he was eternally begotten.
Right.
I wasn't eternally begotten by my father.
Right.
I was born on May 12th, 1978. But Jesus was eternally begotten in his deity.
Right.
It's really complicated. How can
right.
you expect someone to grasp that before they can be born again?
Right.
It's more of a sanctification truth. It's like an upper level truth that kind of comes on later.
John Niemela has written an article for us arguing what this person is asking about, that really in this day and age, it's hard to imagine anyone could believe in Jesus for his eternal salvation without believing he's more than a man.
Right.
Because if he's just a normal man, he couldn't do it. And of course, even the apostles didn't believe Jesus was just a normal man. They believed he was Messiah.
Right.
They just didn't think Messiah was God.
Right.
Only when Jesus rose from the dead do we have Thomas say, "My Lord and my God."
Right. Even in John's gospel, you can see that John himself came to believe that Jesus was God, because that's 1:1. That's
right.
John 1, verse 1.
Sure, exactly. So The point I would make is, although it's possible to believe in Jesus for everlasting life without believing in his deity and without believing in the Trinity, practically speaking, that doesn't happen.
Right.
The second question is, does a person need to have a full-orbed understanding of everything Jesus did and said? And the answer is no. And they don't need to have a full-orbed understanding of who he is. In other words, they don't need to understand the hypostatic union,
right,
the union between deity and humanity in one person.
Right.
They don't need a full understanding of the Trinity or even be Trinitarian.
And they don't need to understand it at the point of faith when they're initially born again.
Right.
But as they grow in the faith,
I mean,
they need to start studying this and believing this. John's gospel itself uses the deity of Christ as evidence to believe in him for eternal life. It starts off with the deity of Christ in John 1:1.
Exactly.
And the other end of the bookend is Thomas's exclamation that Jesus is God in John 20. So the deity of Christ should be part of the evidence you present to someone to convince them to believe in Jesus for eternal life.
But it's not a condition of everlasting life. It's what leads to believing in him for everlasting life.
Right.
Just like his death on the cross for us is what leads us to believe that when he says, he who lives and believes in me shall never die, that's true because he died for my sins on the cross.
So the deity of Christ is evidence to get someone to believe. It's almost like apologetics. It's like, here is why. And what a lot of people have mistakenly done, we think, is instead of making it evidence, instead of making it apologetics, they've made it a condition of eternal salvation. And that's not right.
It leads to a layer of confusion because people wonder, well, did I really believe everything the Bible says about the deity of Christ?
Right.
I mean, I could ask that question of any of us, including myself.
I've had pastors come to me and say, no, you absolutely need to believe in the deity of Christ to be saved. And then when I asked them about it, almost all of them were all heretics because they didn't understand the Trinity. They grew up in these kind of low church evangelical traditions, and they didn't know about the Trinity. They would have been burned at the stake, but here they are insisting to me that you need to believe in the deity of Christ to be saved when they themselves didn't even understand the deity of Christ. Wes, I hope that has answered your question, and I hope even more that maybe it's provoked more questions. If so, please send them to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Do you like what you're learning on the show? Well, there's more where that came from. We would love for you to come visit us at our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free resources on our site. One of which is really popular, is our free magazine. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color and it's completely free. Subscribe on the website and it will show up in your mailbox hassle free. It's faithalone.org. Another reason to visit the site is to learn a little bit more about becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. You ever have one of those questions that keeps you up at night? I know that I do sometimes. Well, if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, we want to hear from you. Send us a message at radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow, we're going to discuss what it means for Jesus to be the Savior of the world, so you don't want to miss that discussion. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.